Good morning, everyone. Isn't it great to be in the house? Isn't it great to be able to meet under a roof? What an awesome campaign to be able to give to, right? My name is Ben Clausen. I have the privilege of sharing a word with you today. Pastor Doug finished up a series called Thrive last week. We were on that for about 5 weeks, and I just encourage you to go back and listen to that if you haven't listened to that yet. It's a great series all about the generosity of God and how God wants us to be generous and how generosity actually brings us closer to the heart of God. So I have a question for you. Do you feel like there's no one there for you in the hard times of your life? Have you ever felt that way? Do you feel like you're on this journey called life by yourself many times? You know, first off, I just want to say that God loves you and cares for you, and he is with you. He says he will never leave you nor forsake you. And one of the ways, though, that God cares for us and loves us is he brings people into our lives through the body of Christ to be with us, to help us. So we're on a new series called Real Together. Now, this series is all about how we do life together. It is about how Jesus made disciples and how he grew them to become the apostles that Scripture says turned the world upside down. Wow. And you know, that commandment has not changed for us to go out and turn the world upside down. Jesus still wants us to be disciples that do that. This series is also about how we need to let people into our lives to help us. You see, sometimes God is sending people, but we don't allow them into our life, right? So people help us to grow and to challenge us, because that is exactly what we actually see Jesus did. He challenged the disciples on many occasions. Sometimes in not very nice ways, right? But all for their benefit and their growth, right? That's how my message today is called Authentic Discipleship. This message is all about how God puts people in our life to walk with us, to challenge us at times, but to grow together as disciples for Jesus. Let's pray. Lord God, just thank you, God. Thank you for your presence here, Lord. I pray for the hearts and minds of every single person here, Lord God. I pray that whatever hindrances, Lord God, whatever is maybe coming in from the world that might distract or whatever, Lord, I pray that your word would cut through that. You say in your word that your word is a double-edged sword, Lord. So I just pray that this word that I would speak would not be my word, but they would be your words coming forth from my mouth, and that they would penetrate deep into the hearts and the minds of every single person here, that no person would leave here the same as they came in, and that you just touch every heart, every mind that's in here, Lord, with your tangible love and your goodness and your peace and your word. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. So as we get into the message today, I want to talk about how vital the church has been for me and is for us today. See, there is people in the body of Christ, Christians, who say that you don't need to go to church anymore. That's pointless. We are not saved by works. We're not saved by having to go to church, right? We're saved through grace, by grace through faith, right? And, you know, that is true. But the Bible also says in Hebrews 10, 24, 25, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. See, you can't do that off by yourself. And it goes on to say, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. See, this is not an old or new thing. This is an old thing that even the early church dealt with. People talking that way, right? But But it goes on to say, exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Exhorting means to lift each other up, to spur each other on, to encourage each other. That's what the body of Christ is for. That's what the church is for. You know, who knows the story of Lot and Abraham? Most of us probably do, right? God calls Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and Abraham brings his nephew Lot with him. Now, God blesses Abraham and Lot so much. They have so many cattle, so many herds and livestock that the land can't sustain them both. Their herdsmen actually start to fight each other. And so Abraham and Lot, they meet up, and Abraham says to Lot, you know what? The land can't sustain us. You pick a land, you pick which direction you want to go and you want to live, and I will go in the opposite direction. So Lot looks up, and he sees this green, beautiful, lush land, and he gives it to Abraham. No, he doesn't. He picks it for himself, and he goes there, and he lives there. Well, as Lot moves to this area, he starts to live in these cities, and he starts to live in Sodom and Gomorrah. Many of us know about these cities, right? These cities were wicked, and the people in there were doing very wicked, evil, perverse things. And God ends up actually destroying that city. And Lot says here in 2 Peter 2, 6 through 8, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. See, God is a God of grace, right? But there is limits to that, right? These people were so perverse, so wicked in their ways, God couldn't handle it anymore. And it says, he delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Wow. So he moves to this beautiful area, lush land, and yet he's tormented by the people he surrounded himself with. Right? This is a picture of us today. You know, how often isn't it that we pick a pay raise and move somewhere else, go somewhere else where there is not a church that we can fellowship with? There is not a good church that we can fellowship and be connected to. How often does that happen? And then our spiritual life wanes and we lose sight of what's important. We stop having a close personal relationship with God. You know, it says here that Lot, I don't have the scripture up there, but Lot, he had multiple daughters, and him and his family, they were running, and his wife actually perished by turning into a pillar of salt because they were not supposed to look back at what was happening to Sodom and Gomorrah, and his wife looked back, and she turned into a pillar of salt. He escapes with two of his daughters, but there was others of his family, daughters that were married, that they did not want to leave Sodom and Gomorrah. They perished there. So Lot, he lost so much by choosing to live in this wicked place. And there's a lesson to be learned from this for us. You know, we all have choices that we have to make in life. So we better choose carefully, right? Because they will show us the direction of our life. In 2016, I made one of the best decisions of my life. I quit my job. At the time, I worked for a logging company, and I really enjoyed my work. It was working in the bush, very scenic, always in the woods. The pay was good. The company was good. And pull up that picture. I ran a log loader. Basically, I would load log trucks up in about, you're always trying to beat your time, but we would be loading log trucks with like 40 ton of wood in less than 10 minutes, right? So you're just piling them on. It was a fun job. It was a thrilling job. And I really liked it. But the thing about this job was I was working 12, 13-hour days, 5 to 6 days a week, and I was in the bush all week. Very hard to connect with anybody there. In 2013, in October, I gave my life to Christ, and I became a Christian. And I worked up there for two more winters, but, you know, I just didn't enjoy it as much anymore because I felt like God was telling me, you know, you need to get more connected to a church. You need to get more involved. So I did that. I quit my job. I didn't enjoy it as much. And, you know, that's I think that's also part of God changing the desires of our heart, right? Aligning our desires with his desires, right? And it's been the best decision I ever made, right? I came here to City Light Church, joined Pastor Doug's small group. He challenged me. I've grown so much. You know, I can honestly say that I've been so blessed by the church. God blesses us through the church, through the body of Christ. The church is where I've grown so much. The church is where I met my beautiful wife. The church is where I have some of my best friends, right? This is where we are to grow as disciples and followers of Christ. You know, I love what Precious says about church. Everybody knows Precious. He gives the offering here. He's on the drums as well. But he says, when he comes to a city, even before he finds a job, he'll look for the church. He'll look for a good church to belong to, right? And that is the right attitude to have, you know, because everything else will follow. God is the one who blesses us where we are at, right? God will lead us to a job. If we have the spiritual side, the relationship with him set, God will bless us, right? In Matthew 16, 18, Jesus says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." See, Jesus said to Peter, the disciple, "Upon you I will build my church." Jesus is still building his church, and that's exciting because he wants us to help build his church. Matthew 28:19 says, "Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So we are to go out. We are to make disciples. How do we do that? You know, before we can do that, we ourselves need to be disciples. So what does that mean? What does that look like? Well, if we look at Scripture as our example, what did the 12 apostles do? The 12 disciples, they gave up everything. They were sacrificial in giving their time. They gave up their livelihoods to follow Jesus. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that we need to do that, right? Because we are to be a minister and a witness wherever we are in our workplace. But what I'm saying is we need to be sacrificial in growing up as disciples, in spending time in the house of God. Jesus still wants that same kind of commitment that the disciples gave. He still wants that from us today. He says to us, "Take up your cross and follow me," right? Meaning we need to let go of the burdens, the things of the world, the chains that we're trying to hold on to, and follow Jesus. And he will lead us and guide us. So I want to give you examples through Scripture what it looks like for us to both be a disciple and to be a discipler, disciple maker. Number one, the first thing we need to do is love God. Somebody asked Jesus in Matthew 22, 36, 38, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, with all your soul. This is the first and great commandment." Wow. See, if we want to have a love for others to be able to disciple, we need to first and foremost have a close personal relationship and a love for God, right? Out of that, when we have a love for God, he will instill us in us a love for other people. Matthew 22, 30 through 40 says, "And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So how do we love our neighbor as ourselves? You know, sometimes we don't love ourselves very well, right? So how can we love our neighbor if we're not loving ourselves very well, if we don't treat ourselves very good? This goes back to the first commandment, because when we get rooted and grounded, have a close personal relationship with God, then he will heal those hurts and those pains. And a lot of times, most times, he also does that through other people in the church, in the body of Christ, to help us, to guide us, to lead us. This leads me to point number two, to be a friend. We need to be a friend to others, and we also need to let others be a friend to us. If we want to be a discipler and a disciple, we need to be friends, right? It can't just be a professional relationship. We need to have a love for each other. Proverbs 19, verse 7 says, and just before I read this scripture, you know, I want to talk about what a friend isn't. You know, there's bad examples in Proverbs that actually tells us what a bad friend looks like. So let's look at this. 19:7 says, "All the brothers of the poor hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He may pursue them with words, yet they abandon him." Wow. So even a poor person, even their brothers, don't want to be around them. Don't want to spend time with them. And how much more so friends? What kind of friends are these? These are not good friends, right? And this is why we go back to Jesus. What did Jesus tell us? He told us to love the poor, to not think about ourselves, right? When we have a love for God within us, then we start to love the poor, right? We love those who are downtrodden. We love those who are in the prisons, in the jails, on the streets. Luke 6, 27, 36. Jesus says here, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who spitefully use you." See, even when we do good to others and they don't appreciate it, we need to still love them, because we're not serving man. We are serving God. "To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back." Jesus hits it home here. "But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great." Wow, our reward will be great from God. "And you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful." Wow. You know, Jesus, he has the right to say this. This was before he went to the cross. But he, God, came down in the flesh to live amongst us. Can you imagine that? Wow. So how can we love our enemies? How can we love those who don't love us back? It's a supernatural love we need to have. We need to have the love of God within us. So this goes back to point one again. In John 15, verse 4, it says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." See, if we want to have the fruit of love, we need to abide in Jesus every single day, right? What happens to a vine if it's cut off? What happens if it doesn't, it's not connected anymore? It withers and it dies, right? It's not going to bear fruit. This is a picture of how we, every single day, moment by moment, need to be staying connected to Jesus, to the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul goes on to say in Galatians 5:22-23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Wow. See, the fruit of the Spirit is all the things that we need to be a true friend, to be the kind of friend that Jesus calls us to be. As we abide in him, we will start to bear the fruit of being in his awesome presence. When we feel God's love and grace and mercy for us, we will naturally just start to pour that out. It will be a fruit coming from us, right? Paul makes it clear here, this is a fruit, not a root, right? So this leads me to point number three, be accountable. You know, as friends, we need to be held accountable. We also need to hold other people accountable, right? So that we stay on the straight and narrow path. I love what Pastor Doug often says. He says, every pastor needs a pastor, right? What is that saying? It's saying, I want somebody speaking to my life. I want accountability. I want input. So that's such an awesome example from our pastor that no matter what stage of life you are, you still need accountability. You still need input from other people, right? In Jeremiah 17, verse 9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You see, we can think, oh, I'm doing good. I'm good. I can take care of myself. I don't need anybody. You know, we're that lone ranger that Pastor Doug often talks about as well. The lone ranger is a stranger in danger, right? He doesn't even know the danger that's around him. That's why we need friends speaking into our life. Proverbs 27:5-6 says, open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. See, it's not always going to feel pleasant and good for a friend to tell us the truth. It's going to be uncomfortable at times. But you know, a true friend tells you what you need to hear to keep you from driving over the cliff, right? What does an enemy do? What does this say? An enemy will say, hey, you're doing good. Keep on going. It's a good destination you're headed towards. Right on. Meanwhile, bam, you drive right off the cliff. God doesn't want that, right? God brings people into our life. Pastors, friends, people in the church here, the body of Christ, to help us, to guide us, to lead us. And this also comes back to my next point, number four, to have friends speak into our lives. We also need to be humble. We need to be able to accept what people say into our lives. Proverbs 9:8-9 says, do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. What does it say? Go on to say, rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will still be wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Wow. This is a man with a humble heart. To be wise is to know that you might be able to make errors. You don't know everything. I need input. I need other people to speak into my life, to help me, right? To grow me, to challenge me. But it can be hard to hear the truth at times, right? But if we're wise, we're a just man, as it says in here, we will increase in our learning. That is what God wants for us. 1 Peter 5:5-7 says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. See, God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. He resists us when we are proud. Usually when we're in pride, we're making the wrong decisions, right? That's why he's resisting us. We're going the wrong way. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. See, we have to trust God and humble ourselves. You know, we can think to ourselves, oh, I need to do this and this. I need to do these things of my own strength now. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. But this says here, if we just humble ourselves, we listen to others, we honor around, honor up, honor down, as Pastor Doug says, honor all around, God is going to exalt us in due time, right? Why? Because he cares for us as we put our cares upon him. So this leads me to my last point. You know, as we do these things, we need to prioritize the fellowship, right? As we heard earlier, do not forsake the gathering together of each other. You know, Proverbs 13, verse 20 says, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Now, I'm not saying that everywhere you go in the world, you're going to meet fools and stuff, right? But this is, you know, the church is the place where we are all growing, being sanctified, right? Trying to become more like Jesus. And this is the place that we first and foremost need to work, need to be in, right? Be in the house here. Need to serve. Need to meet. Need to fellowship. So that we can walk with the wise and become wise. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. See, we sharpen each other, right? Iron sharpening iron. But guess what? That doesn't sound like a very pleasant experience, right? Sharpening each other. This goes back to what we were talking about, right? About speaking the truth in love, but holding each other accountable. Right? Seeking God first. This is not always going to be a pleasant feeling, but God puts people around us in our life for the betterment of us, right? And he will tell us, he will show us, you know, if we have unhealthy relationships, maybe we need to take ourselves out of those, right? But, you know, iron sharpens iron. And I like what Pastor Doug said a couple of weeks ago. It says, he said, there are two things that are for sure. One, that you will be offended, that I will be offended. And two, that we will be the offender. I will be the offender, right? I will be offended and I will be the offender at some point in my life, right? But we have to choose to do what Jesus said, right? Peter comes up to Jesus and he says, how many times should I forgive my brethren who trespass against me? Seven times? And he thought that was a lot. Jesus said, no, 70 times seven, right? Which is basically just saying an unlimited amount, right? We need to forgive each other and walk in love. Move past the offenses that we have in our life. James 1, 22, 25 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. See, we are blessed if we put into practice what we are learning. What you are learning today, if you put it into practice, you will be blessed. Not because it's my words, because of the scriptures, right? Because it's God's word. Because these are true principles of the word of God. So this week, my challenge for you is, you know, hopefully you're all doing number one already. You're all spending time with God every single day in a close personal relationship with him. My encouragement would be, this week, pick two of these points and put them into practice. You know, be a friend to someone. Let someone be a friend to you. In other words, be a disciple and make a disciple, right? Be accountable or be humble, right? Let people speak into your life. You know, being accountable, I'm not saying you go to everyone and be like, hey, I want you to criticize me whenever, right? No, you trust, you pick someone that you trust, right? Someone that you know loves you and be like, hey, can you just show me if I'm off track or if I'm doing something that you don't think is what the Word of God is showing, right? We need people like that in our lives to be able to speak into our lives and help us, right? And then we also have to be humble and accept it when they tell us, right? And not be offended. And, you know, meeting together, right? There's Bible studies that we have, small groups. I encourage you, if you're not a part of one, join one. Or maybe you can serve somewhere. We have different ministries that we're doing. One of them, this happens every couple months. I asked Laura to put a picture up. We were at the soup kitchen yesterday, which was a really good time. Brian Faber, he has his head down for some reason. I'm not sure why, but he was playing the guitar and singing worship songs the whole hour that we were in there serving the people. It was an awesome experience. And yeah, many hands make light work, right? And so if you ever want to join and help at the soup kitchen, just talk to the office, talk to myself, right? We'd love to be able to just help you to be able to serve, right? I was just thinking yesterday, you know, what an honor it is to be able to serve, right? To be able to serve at the soup kitchen and help other people, and also to serve in the house of God. It's an honor and a privilege for us to be able to do that, and a way to show love for others. So, 5 points. Love God, be a friend, be accountable, be humble, prioritize fellowship. If I could sum it all up with a scripture, this one would be it. John 13, 34, 35. A new commandment, this is Jesus speaking to the disciples, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. How did Jesus love us? He died for us, right? He was tortured. He took our sin upon himself so that we could be redeemed. That's how much he loved us. Sacrificially, this is quite the challenge that he gave us, this commandment, to love each other that way, right? To forgive each other, to serve each other like that, like he did. And it says, by this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. He's saying here, the world will be in astonishment by the amount of love that you have for another, for one another, right? Because this is a supernatural love that comes from Jesus. And this is what we need to be showing to each other. So, you know, Jesus, he went and he died on the cross. He bore our sicknesses, our diseases, our sins upon the cross, so we need not bear them. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus today, there's going to be an opportunity for you to do that. And I can tell you from personal experience, it is the greatest decision that you will ever make. Your life will be turned upside down in a good way. Speaking for myself, God loves you. He wants to bless you. And if you have not made that decision to accept Jesus, Lord and Savior, today, I'm going to give you an opportunity here. But before we do that, I just want to finish talking about our vision. CLC's vision is reaching people for Jesus Christ one person at a time. And our mission is making biblical disciples through authentic relationships. And just like we want to have authentic relationships, let's be authentic disciples of Jesus. With that, I'll leave you with that, and let's pray. Lord God, I thank you, God. Thank you for your word. I thank you, Jesus, that you came and you died for us, that you loved us so much. I just pray for every single person here. I pray that they feel your tangible love, your goodness, Lord, and that they know every single person here. You know them by name, Lord. In your word, you say that you even know the very hairs of their head, how many they have. That's how much you love every single person here, Lord. So I just pray that every person in here knows your love, knows your goodness and your faithfulness. And that as they go out throughout the week, they're able to meditate upon this word. And that you bring a scripture, bring a point back to their remembrance that they can put into practice in their daily life so that they will be a doer of the word and that they will be blessed by it, as your word says. Just bless every single person here as they go out throughout the week in the name of Jesus. Now, with your heads bowed, eyes still closed, just want to give an opportunity to anyone who has not accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. I'm just going to pray a prayer. If you want to make that decision, the best decision you'll ever make, to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, just pray with me right now. Dear Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins and you rose from the grave. I accept your free gift of salvation and I accept you as Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.